Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I wanted to talk to you about, God, you know, Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission, mm-hmm. Matthew 28, right? Go into all the world, right? Mm-hmm. And that same Great Commission wasn't just for the disciples, Steve. It's for all of us to go into all mm-hmm. the world and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And today, we have a lot of people that profess to know Jesus, right? But they're not necessarily disciples. They're not necessarily followers of Jesus, right? And what we want to do is be true to what the Lord asked us to mm-hmm. do. You know, the Lord didn't ask us to go and make, converts. He didn't tell us to go and, make church attendees. He didn't say those things. He said to go and make followers. And the way that maybe we have adopted doing that in recent years is maybe quite different than some of, the early church fathers have done it. I want you to hear a testimony about Pocahontas and how she came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and what happened in this process. Because a lot of times we say, I want to lead you to the Lord. And we pray maybe a sinner's prayer. And then we kind of wait to see what happens, right? And we say, listen, you've given your life to the Lord. But giving your life to the Lord is a process. It's a conversion process. And not everyone just immediately, mm-hmm. you're on a journey. You're on a journey. Yes, you've accepted the Lord into your heart, into your life. But we're going to be judged by how we lived by the book, right? The Bible. And so we better know what it is that we're going to, mm-hmm. Say we're going to live
gotta
by.
Got to know we're professing to believe.
Yeah. I want you to watch and listen to this amazing testimony. David Barton shares this. Watch this.
Now, I want to take you to a picture that hangs in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. Inside the U.S. Capitol, there are 8 paintings. They are 14 feet high. They are 20 feet wide. They capture, 4 of the paintings were painted to capture what the documents in Congress say were the Christian heritage of the United States. And this is one of those paintings. Now, this is not nearly as big as the painting is, because 14 feet high is a story and a half high. So it's a massive painting. And this is the baptism of Pocahontas at Jamestown, Virginia, in 1613. She's the first convert to Christianity in the colony of Virginia. That's her right there. She's being baptized by the Reverend Alexander Whitaker. This is her husband, John Rolfe, behind her. This is her family over here, Powhatan. She was an Indian princess. So when you look at Pocahontas, she got baptized. She's converted, right? No. She came to them a year before and says, I want to become a Christian. They said, no, you don't. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. The scripture says, and Jesus tells us very clearly in Luke 14, that nobody can be his disciple until they count the cost first. They said, so what you need to do, you need to read through the Bible for a year, see if you're willing to live that lifestyle. You study that for a year and see if you want to commit to that lifestyle, because if you're going to become a Christian, that's what you're going to have to do, is live by the book. So we'll talk to you in a year after you've read the book for a while and see if you really want to do this. So what she's doing is she's being baptized here a year later, because she's come back and said, I understand what's required of me. I'm willing to do that. As a matter of fact, she says, I see in the scriptures that when someone knows God, that he often changed their name, as he did with Abram and Jacob, etc. She says, I want to change my name from Pocahontas to Rebecca. I want a biblical name. She was thereafter known as Rebecca. You know, we have the movie Pocahontas. She was always known as Rebecca. When she was presented the Queen of England in 1616, she was 1618, she was the Princess Rebecca. How come we call her Pocahontas today instead of Rebecca? Because she's Rebecca. Because if we called her Pocahontas, we'd have to talk about her conversion to Christianity. We don't want to do that in schools. We don't want to talk about somebody coming to Christ. So we're back to calling her Pocahontas. She was Rebecca. This is the Princess Rebecca. But interesting, the concept was, you want to come to Christ? Study the book for a while and see if you really want to do this. Because you can't be a disciple unless you're willing to take up your cross daily and follow him. Jesus said, you can't be my disciple if you don't count the cost. So that's the way we approached for a number of years. And that's why if you look at the sinner's prayer, this is a brand new thing. Sinner's prayer was introduced in the 1920s in America. A particular evangelist introduced that prayer. And if you look across the history of the church, you go back to the early church fathers. Conversion under the apostles in the early church, historically speaking, was considered to be a 3 to 4 year process. If you want to become a follower of Jesus, it's going to take you 3 to 4 years because you're going to have to learn the teachings. You're going to have to read the book. You're going to have to make sure your lifestyle matches up. It's a conversion process. It's not, see, conversion today is recite a formula. Well, you know, I can recite a formula on how I can turn myself into silver. So it's not going to work. You know, there's something that actually has to transpire physically within me for me to become something different than what I am. And so that's why historically this is what it was. And if you look at the greatest evangelist across history, you take John Eliot, the apostle of the Indians, Massachusetts Indian tribe, he did the first Bible in America, 1661. Jonathan Edwards, the great revival preacher, sinners in the hand of an angry God, started the Great Awakening. You go to George Whitefield, the revival preacher, John Wesley, who came from England to preach across America. Look at all these guys, John Bunyan, who did Pilgrim's Progress, great English minister, John Newton, who did Amazing Grace, had been a slave captain on a ship and was converted. You look at Charles Finney, Second Great Awakening, D.L. Moody. And by the way, D.L. Moody, it's kind of fun to read. D.L. Moody was in the heart of what we call the turn of the century revival, 30-year revival that really changed urban America, went into the inner cities where it was roughest and toughest and changed those things totally around. It's where you see the start of the YMCA and YWCA. Other things like that came out of that revival movement. In his own autobiography, he said that he went to his church leaders and said, I want to become a Christian. And they said, well, let's see if you're ready. And they set him down and started asking him questions out of the Bible. They said, you're not ready to become a Christian. Go back and study some more. See us when you're ready. I mean, even for T.L. Moody, the great evangelist, no simple conversion. You had to go know the book because you have to live by the book because that's how you'll be judged as whether you're a Christian or not. So you continue through these evangelists. David Livingstone, famous missionary to Africa. Hudson Taylor, famous missionary to China. Charles Spurgeon, theologian. Even the Apostle Paul. How did anybody get saved in their day without the sinner's prayer? See, we wouldn't know what to do today if you didn't have the sinner's prayer. That's what we've turned Christianity into, is the recitation of a formula, and that's not conversion. So what I want you to see in the starting session is that the Great Commission is not about salvation, it's about discipleship.
The Great Commission is not about salvation, it's about discipleship. Mm-hmm. We've been saying this for quite some time. Yeah. So it's refreshing to hear David Barton, you know, be echoing and saying the same things, which is, you know, hearing the same. But think about that. The Great Commission, does it, someone come to, that's great. Yes, come to the Lord. But, you know, we need to get, you know, roots down and fruit mm-hmm. up. You know, and I think about the four, the parable about the sower and the
seeds.
The seeds.
Yeah.
You know, where you have the four grounds, if you will, the four mm-hmm. conditions of the soil, right? Some seed fell on the path, some seed fell on the rocky areas, and yeah. the other ones on the thorny bushes, and of course you had the good soil. Well, the rocky places, there wasn't enough soil. So when, you know, persecution happened, all
it just got stolen.
Just didn't grow.
Yeah.
And this is what's happened over and over and over again. Listen, you know, we want to see conversions. We want mm-hmm. to see people stay with God over the long haul. Pocahontas, she says, I've been reading, and I've noticed that when people come to God, their name changed. I want to change my name. Mm. How would she know that unless she spent time in the Bible? And after she spent this time, she says, I want to follow him.
Yeah. Well, look at the book of Acts. I've always been encouraged. When you look at the birthing of the church, you look at that process of what God did through those beginning moments. And there was just such a demonstration of just that authority and just the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see that, you know, Paul would just preach for hours, and then he spent time, it said, for years before he began to just move in the Lord. And it's just like, imagine if we were to take on those same beginning decisions and say, you know what, I have to get into the Word to know what Jesus expects of me in order for me to make an open decision that says, if I'm going to follow him, I got to know what I'm believing, and I have to make that decision and say, okay, this is count the cost. Yeah. If you're going to be a disciple, you got to pick up your cross daily.
Well, how many people come right now, they say they're a believer, and you say, okay, let me tell you what the Word said. Oh, no, wait, I didn't sign up for that. Yeah. I just get out of hell free. That's good. The blessings, I like that. Healing, yep, that's all good. I can pray. Follow him, deny myself. Yes, this is what we're called to be lovers of God, totally committed, fully engaged, and living a life that glorifies him. Listen, we're going to go to a break. When we get back, we have more testimony to share with you about the power of the Word of God and how every solution to any problem or circumstance we face can always be found in the Bible. We want to share with you an amazing testimony of Matthew Murray. He's the father of oceanography, and he's the father of naval meteorology. You know, when we think about God's word, it's so rich. Mm-hmm. We always say, listen, it doesn't matter anything that you're facing. Have an abiding relationship with the Lord. Just have a relationship. Spend time with this word. Spend time reading it. And allow God to speak to you through his word. And it's amazing what God will show you as you just spend time with him and listen. Have ears to hear what he wants to share with you. He'll reveal to you mysteries. He'll reveal to you secrets. He'll reveal to you his wisdom. I want you to listen to this encounter that Matthew Murray had and how the world was able to benefit because he spent time in God's word. Watch this.
I want to give you some practical examples. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Rush, considered by John Adams one of the three most notable of our founding fathers, this is what he said. He said, "The Bible contains more knowledge necessary to man in his present state than any other book in the world." Now, he didn't say that lightly. He's a smart guy. He started 5 universities. 3 of them still go today. He's the first professor of chemistry in the United States, wrote the first chemistry textbook, he wrote the first psychiatry textbook. He's called the father of public schools under the Constitution. He's all about education. And he said, there's no book that will give you more practical knowledge than the Bible. Let me give you some examples of that. This is a guy named Matthew Maury. Matthew Maury, we don't study about in schools anymore today. Matthew Maury was a seaman. He grew up as a young boy, and he went to sea, and then he became a sailor, and then he became a ship captain, and then he owned ships, and he was big into the sea and sailing. Today, we know him as the father of oceanography. But this guy who loved the sea went ashore one time, and while he was ashore, he got in a stagecoach accident, and it crushed his leg. His leg never healed correctly, and he was never able to go back to sea because he couldn't walk right, and his leg didn't work right, and couldn't keep his balance on the sea. So what he loved for his whole life, it's now gone, but he still loves the sea. And he said that and by the way, he's called the father of oceanography because he's the guy who discovered the jet streams in the oceans. He figured out that if you move 50 miles over here with your ship, you'll be in a jet stream that'll take you to Europe a week faster than everybody else will get there, which means you get there a lot faster, you can sell your goods. Now, if you move over here about 180 miles and come back, there's the jet stream coming back to America, and he found the jet stream that goes to Africa and the jet streams that go to Australia and all the continents. They got these jet streams between them. And by the way, think about doing that back in the 1830s and 40s. What's your technology like back then? You got no satellites. I mean, what do? Stand on the deck of a ship and look for, how do you know? And how do you know that there's jet streams in the ocean anyway? The reason he knew was he was at home sick one day, and his family was reading the Bible to him out loud. And they were specifically reading out of Psalm 8. And he said Psalm 8, verse 8, is what caused him to discover the jet streams in the ocean. He said that as they were reading, and this is the passage, let me just read you the passage out of Psalm 8. The passage says, "Lord, thou madest man to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the paths of the sea." He said, wait a minute, read that again. And they read it, he said, again, slow down. And what got him was this phrase right here, "whatever passes through the paths of the sea." He said, read it again, slow down, read it again. Paths of the sea. I've been on the sea my whole life. I've never seen a path in the sea. I've seen paths in forests. I've seen paths in valleys. I've seen paths through the woods. Read it again. He said, God said there's paths. There's got to be paths in the sea because God said so. That's when he started looking, and that's when he found the paths of the sea. So having found the paths of the sea, particularly out of that Bible verse, that's why he is called the father of oceanography. But interestingly, he didn't just stop with that. He was reading his Bible one day in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 6. And Ecclesiastes 1, 6 says this. It says, "The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit." Wait a minute. The wind has circuits? He is the guy who discovered jet streams in the air. And from finding jet streams in the air, for the first time, weather prediction became possible. He could tell captains of ships, "You don't want to go to sea right now because what the winds are doing, you wait a week and you'll be all right to go to sea, but don't go now." He could predict weather because he found jet streams in the air. He found the directions the air moves and what happened when it moved in those directions. And so that's why, in addition to being called the father, he's called the father of naval meteorology. That's where weather prediction came from, is this guy. And it came out of the Bible. So father of naval meteorology, father of oceanography, pathfinder of the seas, all this because of Bible verses, because the Bible does provide knowledge in every aspect of life.
The Bible. Wow. In abiding relationship, spending time with God. Listen, this is what it's all about. This is what we're called to do, is to commune with the Lord, spend time in His Word, and to apply God's Word in our life. This man could have been doing anything that night, but his family was reading to him the Bible, and something quickened in his spirit where he said, paths of this, what is that?
Yeah.
And you could only imagine the dialogue with God and just praying and, you know, Lord, show me, and the faith that it required to just step on out, and God said it. And so he discovers this amazing discovery. And he does it not once, but he does it twice, because he discovers the jet stream in the air. Listen, God wants to speak to us about so many things in our lives. He wants us to know him, his character, who he is, his love for you. But he speaks to every situation because the Word of God is alive. It's a living book. And then think about Pocahontas, or should we say Rebecca? Listen, this is why we talk about two things, abiding and being a disciple. If you want a simple plan on how you can spend time with God, we want to encourage you, go to iabide.org. It's very simple. Request your free plan today, and you can get started in an abiding relationship where God can speak to you directly.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.